Amen. It's going to be House Lord this evening.
Amen.
Happy at the thought of, no matter how tough the battle gets, no matter what the devil throws at you, no matter what you face, there's a God in heaven that is on your side. You have access to Him 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and His power will never run. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful for the God that I worship, the God that got on the cross and died, not because He was made to, but He literally gave up His life. Hallelujah. If you would turn to Acts chapter 7, which a little bit say this evening, this afternoon, Haley mentioned that song to me. I said, I had to sing it. It wasn't some weird coincidence. It lined up that way. So it was just Acts chapter 7, we read verse 54 through 60, and before I begin, y'all turn there to always give honor and appreciation and step behind the pulpit. I'm just talking. I take honor and just try to get to the word and then just try to give something to y'all that the Lord has laid on my heart. I'm going to be honest with y'all. I'm coming here with a burden this evening. This is not a scare tactic I'm trying to bring and make everyone fearful. But what I'm going to bring to you at first will be fearful, but at the end of it will be joyful. So if you would, just get in worship this evening. Acts chapter 7. Begin reading there in verse 54. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, we read here about a man named Stephen and his death, his murder. We read of what's going on in this time when you read throughout Acts chapter 7. And we read what's going on here. A man preaching the gospel, cut low. Young man, killed for preaching the gospel. This evening I'm coming with you to a burden, with a burden on my heart, preaching the title of it, Becoming to a City Near You. Coming to a City Near You. If you would stretch your hands forward and pray for me and help me to preach this sermon to y'all. My Father, right now, Lord, come before you as a humble servant. Lord, I thank you. Pray to preach this word. Lord, I pray for you. Thank you, Lord, I pray for you. Lord, that our hearts be open. God, that our minds be thankful. God, that our ears be wide open. God, Lord, let our hearts be wide open. God, Lord, let us apply this to our daily walk with you. God, we pray you just give us strength, Lord, and anoint me to preach this message to your people. God, I cannot do this on my own, but I can only do this with you, Father. I pray right now, God, that you touch me. Amen. I'm coming here to y'all tonight. I have 4 points that I'm going to promise you I'm not going to try to be lengthy. I'm going to get through it as quick as I can. But I told Brother Shane, I said, well, you cut it short this morning, so I'm going to take what you left off, and I'm just going to add it tonight. I'm just kidding. But I'm coming with 4 points. Point 1, the reaction of the world, the response of the saints, the reward of the faithful, preparing ourselves for the same battle. Matter of fact, we're going to switch those. Preparing ourselves for the same battle, and the reward of the faithful. But I want to take a moment here and expose this passage of Scripture and introduce to you a man named Stephen. His name in Greek is called Stephanos, and the Greek meaning crown, which is fitting for this man named Stephen because
because he will wear the crown of the first martyr, the first Christian killed preaching the gospel. And when I read that, I found that out. I said, man, how intriguing that is and interesting. His name literally meaning crown and being the one that is first killed and will be the one to wear the crown of a martyr. Stephen was chosen in Acts chapter 6. You can read it in verse 5, but all of Acts chapter 6 to be a deacon, and he was chosen. And as the Bible says, he was chosen because he was a man full of faith and Holy Spirit. Later in that same chapter, he will be arrested and sat before the council. And they see something, and the Bible says there in verse 15, they saw his face as it has been the face of an angel. And now we come to read this scripture in Acts chapter 7. We find ourselves, Stephen, preaching to the high priest and to the council. This man, Stephen, full of faith and full of the Holy Ghost and full of boldness. He loved God more than anything. He was not a preacher in a pulpit, but a deacon doing service in the church. He spoke with boldness as of a prophet and of an evangelist. His faithfulness cost him his life, but his witness lit the fire of a young man later known as Paul. Listen, I just want to take a moment there just to say something. When you are going through something and you are going through a trial, you never know who is watching how you handle the situation. Why do you say that? Because later on, Paul will write about watching Stephen being killed. Paul witnessed everything that went on. He witnessed his future of what was going to happen, of how he was going to be persecuted, and how he was going to be arrested, and different things that were going to go on. He watched Stephen. At that moment, Paul ever wrote, I agree with what happened. If you think you're ever too far for God, just realize the greatest preacher besides Jesus in the Bible murdered a lot of Christians. Just so we can get that out there. If you think you're too far beyond God's salvation, you're not a murderer. Amen? The same spirit, at least I hope not. The same spirit of opposition that stoned Stephen still moves in this world today. What began in Jerusalem, and it's already around almost every city, will be coming to a city near you. Just picture here a headline like you would see on the news, and the headline flashes, coming to a city near you. Listen, I'm going to tell you, persecution has already happened in Hampton, in Yorktown. Christians, you know, already happened across the seas in China, in different lands over there in Africa, with the situation going on that was mentioned this morning. We already see it, and we live in America, and it's great America. And believe me, I'm a patriot like the rest of them. I love America, but we are for Christians, we don't face persecution like those overseas. I can tell you one thing right now, if you ain't ready for what's coming, you ain't going to stand before the rapture comes.
Amen.
You think it's crazy? Well, obviously it's going to happen in a big city like Hampton or cities across the land. Listen, it's happening in little old Hertford where I live, a little old small town of a couple thousand people. I have coworkers on a daily basis. They come at me and they say things and they pick on me and they're not talking about myself. And I know others the same way. My brother Matthew's the same way. Things they talk to him about over and over again. Listen, persecution will happen in a town of a couple hundred to a thousand, and it will happen in a city with millions and millions. Persecutions will always happen to Christians. Why? Because the world hates the gospel. That's when I'm going to slow down just for a few minutes and walk through this passage here. Point one there, the reaction of the world and hatred towards the truth. We read there in Acts chapter 7, verse 54, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart and they gnashed on him with their teeth. Listen, the word cuts. Amen. Stephen had just preached the truth to them, telling them what they were, and we were talking about it. Some Christians can't handle the fact that preachers can be a little tough, and oh, nobody did that in the Bible. And Stephen's over here telling them a few verses of you old stiff-necked. He was going on and on telling them the truth, and it was cutting them to the heart. He was telling them about the word. He was telling them about Christ, and they didn't like it. They were convicted, and that the Bible says they were cut to the heart. Hebrews 4:12 tells us, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That sword there, that two-edged sword, I know everybody knows this, but it will cut going in and it will cut going out. That sword there created one of the largest empires that we know in the world, in the Roman Empire. They had their shield, they had their pila, but the main weapon that the Roman soldiers would use would be a thrusting sword that was two-edged, and it was deadly. The Word of God can send conviction to a heart of those who is living wrong. The same sun that melts wax hardens clay. The same Christ can bring people together, but he will also divide people. And I'm just going to be honest with you tonight. Truth should divide. If there's lies in the family and there's sins in the hearts that you love, you should be telling them the truth always. My great-grandmother, my father's dad, I hear the stories all the time about her. Her children would live wrong, and now every time they'd go swimming in her pool at home, and they'd change into the bikinis, and they'd go out, and she'd be right behind them. I'm telling you one thing, you better make sure your heart is right. God's coming back. You better not go out like that. I'm telling you, God's coming back. Don't be wearing the shorts. Don't be doing that. Don't be living like that. You better stop drinking. You better stop cussing. And she would go down behind them. Listen, truth should divide if it is in the Bible. We shouldn't be okay with being with family members. And Alice, I understand we've got to interact. I understand that. I'm not saying don't ever talk to them or don't ever speak to them again. But what I am saying is when the opportunity comes, you should be the first one as a loving Christian, as a Christ-filled saint, you should be the first one to tell them what is going on in their life, what is truth in the Bible, and what are they doing wrong. Just think about what you do in your life nowadays. How many times have God opened the door for you to say something to that family member? How many times, just think about it for a minute, how many times has God allowed the door to open and you sat there with your mouth closed and you said nothing? I'm going to tell you something, Christian. You will answer for it on Judgment Day. All the opportunities that you had to spread the gospel to people, you will answer for it. Oh, God, touch me. The world's response is rage. John 3, verse 19. And this is the commandment, that the light has come into the world. And men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Here in verse 54, I love how the ESV translates that. That cuts to the heart. You know, it translated here now, when they heard these things, they were enraged. They were angry. They were mad. They couldn't stand what Stephen was telling them. The natural man, the old man, as Paul writes in Romans, cannot handle the truth. It cannot handle the gospel. Our worldly flesh cannot handle what we're doing. But when a man of God comes and starts telling us the truth and starts preaching righteousness and starts preaching holy, the natural man inside of us, our natural flesh cannot handle it. Because we're comfortable doing our own thing. We're comfortable living in sin. When evil is in the heart and it's being attacked, all it wants to do is defend itself. When spiritual conviction comes and attacks the problem, you will see two things happen. Praise God, I hope repentance is the first thing that happens. But the other thing you will see is rebellion. Oh, it's not that bad as you think. Oh, it's not that bad. Listen, I'm going somewhere. Just bear with me tonight. It's not that bad as you think. We should always preach the gospel. Always. There should never be a time when we don't find an opportunity. We should seek for an opportunity to tell someone about Christ Jesus. Expect the same reaction today as it was in Acts chapter 7, when you stand for truth, and you stand for holiness, and you stand for marriage, and you stand for the gospel, you stand for repentance, you stand for right hope, you will see enragement against you. I see it all the time. I like watching videos on YouTube. These street preachers that will go out there, I've seen them have to buy brand new speakers. Because somebody will come up and kick it. Somebody will come up and take a hammer to it. Now, if they'll rip the cord out and break the jack inside of it, there's nothing you can do about it. I've seen them get attacked. But yet, they want to have all their parades and all their fun, and we just got to stand there and do nothing. And if we dare say anything about it, it's hate speech, it's wrong. Listen, if it is in the Bible and it is truth, truth should divide always.
Amen.
John 15:18. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you. The servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. Christ already knew what was going on. He's already experienced it. Christ knows already about being persecuted, about being beaten, about being killed on a cross. Christ knows it already.
Yeah.
He's not asking us to go out and do something that he didn't do. He already did it. And we want to live in our comfortable society, being okay with how the world is going. It makes me angry. I saw something going on a couple months ago. I was watching and it was near us. And it made me so angry. And my spirit roused up. And I said, I got to do something. And then I'm getting dressed and I drove halfway down my road. And I said, it's already over. I'm too late. I'm not saying get mad. Go down there. Say, be mad righteously. Let the Spirit lead you. Don't just go down saying, be the Spirit led. How many times do you actually get upset and angry about what's going on in the world? Do you truly get upset about the persecution going on in the Christians across the world? But listen, it's just over there. We don't see it. It ain't happening. Christians ain't being kidnapped in front of us. But we don't see it happening. Oh, how sad it is, you know, Charlie Kirk asked, how sad a Christian. But that's just an outlier. Every now and then that's going to happen. No, listen to me, church. It may not be happening here in America, but it's happening in China. Hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of Christians are being killed. They just had a raid a couple weeks ago on a church and slaughtered thousands. I believe it was over 2,500 Christians that was in the church. They found the hidden church and they slaughtered them. And you think we're okay? Don't be surprised when you start preaching truth and hostility comes. But can I give you something tonight? Being persecuted isn't a sign of defeat, hallelujah. It's a sign of success. Yeah. If someone's mad at you because you're telling the truth, it's because conviction is setting in on their hearts and you're hitting right at the sweet spot. You're touching right there and they're getting so mad. They're enraged at me. They're cussing me out. They're screaming. They're cursing me. They're trying to attack me. That's all right. Guess what? You hit right where you needed to hit. You hit this exact spot right where God wanted you to hit. That's what you need to realize. It's not a sign of failure or defeat. It's a sign of success. It's evidence you are shining light in darkness. Matthew 5:14 says, we are the light of the world. A city set on a hillside or a hill that cannot be hid. Listen, persecution is awful, and I don't want any Christian to be persecuted. But if you are a true Christian, you will be persecuted. I don't want any Christian to go through persecution, Brother Eddie. I don't want any Christian to be killed for the gospel's sake. But if you are a Christian that preaches the gospel, you will be persecuted. God forbid it happens. And there'll be some that die for it. But it ain't something to be upset about. It's something to be joyful about. Point two, the response of the saint. Faith fixed on Christ. There in verse 55, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He was full of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Spiritual strength for persecution doesn't come from human courage or human bravery. It comes from the one that dwells inside of you. It comes from encouragement from on high. There is nothing that I can do that is going to do anything for them down the road. Hallelujah. Ephesians 5:18. I know
what the scripture says in the context of it, but there at the end there it says, be filled with the Spirit. You can read there in Acts 4, verse 31, it talks about them being filled with boldness after they were filled with the Spirit. They're filled with the Holy Ghost, and then comes boldness. The Spirit produces boldness. He produces peace and comfort. He produces forgiveness under pressure. That's a hard one for Christians to understand there. Oh man, Sally Sue, she persecuted me. She said bad things against me. She, at work, she's just, oh, she's evil. Well, it may be true. And maybe in your own flesh you can't forgive her. But with the Spirit inside of you dwelling with you, power from on high, you will forgive when you are persecuted. Being Spirit-filled and Spirit-minded will give you tolerance to deal with the persecution, to deal with the hatred, to deal with the cursing, to deal with the backbiting. Spirit-filled saints and Spirit-led saints and Spirit-minded saints will always have tolerance for those things. He looked up around while the crowd looked at him with anger. Stephen looked up to heaven with hope. Colossians 3, verse 1 and 2 says, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is. Seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things of the earth. The directions of his eyes reveal the direction of his heart. His direction of his heart wasn't on the rocks coming at him and the things that they were saying and how bad the pain was and how much it hurt. His mind wasn't on that. His heart wasn't on that. His heart was looking upwards to Christ. When he was being killed, he wasn't paying attention to the murderers. And Christ, at all times, as a Christian, as we walk this life, our mindset shouldn't be on the scary things out in the world. Oh God, when is this going to happen? Listen, I understand. I get it. There's times where things come up against you. As the song says, the big waves come out of nowhere and start to rock the boat. And it's okay to be a little fearful. It's a natural human emotion to be scared. I'm going to tell you, if I was out in the real water and a big wave like that came up on me, I'd be saying Jesus quite a lot. When the wind comes in like a flood, and he's coming in on all sides, our minds shouldn't be on how many they are, how outnumbered we are, or how many devils are coming at us, how many spirits are flying and we'll get shot from north, south, east, and west. All right, listen to a song up here. Talking about how that giant ain't too big to hit. That giant there was too big to miss. Hallelujah. That storm that's coming, the enemy that's surrounding me, that is outnumbering 10,000 to 1, me on my own is scary. Me on my own is tough and big. I'm outnumbered 10,000 to 1, but my God, I have a Christ in heaven. I have a Savior and a God who can endow with me, or endure with me power, and can give me power from on high to deal with everything that comes my way. Oh, hallelujah. He saw Jesus standing there. Stephen saw him, not seated like in Colossians and Hebrews, but standing. And I personally believe, I know others do too. Two things. One, he was standing in solidarity, showing respect and honor for Stephen, honoring Stephen's sacrifice of his life for the gospel. And two, he was standing ready to welcome Stephen in to heaven. Listen, it's not the scriptures. This might be a little carnal for a minute, please. But listen, how many of those know about the attack? I know some knew about the attack that happened in Haiti a couple years ago. The young missionary couple was killed in Haiti. Okay, I'm going to tell, I don't know if anybody knows the story behind it. But as they were attacked, I've read it so often, as they were attacked, and the people that were supposed to protect them, betrayed them, and was coming into the compound, the people who worked there, they were hiding in all places in the compound, in different closets and classrooms, and all these different areas and bathrooms and stalls. Oh, how scary. What's going on? But when that man was being attacked, witnesses, lots of them, not just one, not just a couple, most of them, I believe it was all of them. While they were cowering in fear, in stalls and closets with the door closed, not even near the man that was preaching. They heard him like they were standing right next to him, hearing every word that he was saying.
Yeah.
And can I tell you something even more amazing than that, church? He was speaking the native language. Can I tell you something else? He didn't speak the native language. He didn't interpret. Oh, God, touch me. When the enemy comes in and surrounding the compound, that man stand out there taking, it wasn't just one shot he was done. He was taking numerous amount of bullets inside of his body. He was being shot left and right. And the whole time he was preaching the gospel, trying to save them, trying to touch their hearts, trying to just tell them the good news of the gospel. And his wife wasn't cowering in fear. She was helping little children to get to safety, helping workers hiding, and her herself was also trying to tell them of the good news of the gospel. This is not some fantasy story of persecution that's going to come. It is truth. And when I tell you persecution comes, it's not a fantasy that God will help you. God will give you power. The Holy Spirit will comfort you every step of the way. When I go through is nothing compared to that. What I've gone through is nothing compared to what Paul went through. Being beaten, jailed, shipwrecked. It's nothing. How dare I?
Yeah.
How dare I get upset about what's going on in my life?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's tough. I'm not saying it ain't hard. But my God, until you've been shipwrecked two times, until you've been beaten and thrown in jail many times, I'm sorry. Don't fall out with me. But I don't have that much sympathy. Because the day you came to an altar and said, Lord, come into my heart, save me, wash me white as snow, take all my sins away. That was the day that you declared war on the devil. That was the day that you were ready and accepted for persecution and the things of the enemy to come. Fix your gaze upward. Persecution can only hurt your physical body. But it can only hurt your spiritual body. When you stop looking at Christ.
Yeah.
When you stop getting on your knees and praying. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
Preparing ourselves for the same battle. Preacher, how do I do that? Well, I got 5 points right here for you. One, be filled with the Spirit. Acts 7:55 says, but he being full of the Holy Ghost looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God. And Jesus is in the right hand of God. No one's flesh stands firm against the devil. No one's physical body without Christ, without God, can stand up to the enemy. You think you can do it on your own? Go ahead. I'm not going to try. You will not be able to handle the word persecution on your own. Listen, I agree. There is no weapon formed against us that will prosper. But that's only because you have God on your side. Not because you're doing it by yourself, but because you have God. Oh, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah, but if you ain't praying on your knees, you ain't getting close to God, you ain't in your word, you ain't actively having an active relationship with God, then I got a feeling there's a couple weapons that can prosper. When you take your mind and your gaze off of Christ. Oh, God. Oh, God. Your power, your ability, your talent, your charisma, your skills has nothing to do and can do nothing with defeating the world and the devil. I have charisma. I can talk them out of it. No. When those men were coming in, murdering and killing, I promise you, if you try to talk them out of it, just your good charisma. You wouldn't be here today.
No, it ain't me. It ain't myself that can do it. I'm not the one that can defeat the devil. I'm not the one that can handle it. I'm not the one that can do it. Who can do it? And I can't do it when Christ with me.
Yes.
I can't do it when I fix my gaze upon Christ.
Yes.
And I am spirit filled. Listen, if you don't have the Holy Ghost here this evening, please don't leave the building till you receive it. And if it's been a while, it shouldn't be 10 years since the last time you felt the presence of God and spoken heavenly tongues. It shouldn't be 20 years. It shouldn't be a year. It shouldn't even be a week. Oh God, touch me. Spend time in prayer and be filled and be overflowing so the Spirit will empower you. Two, be grounded in the Word. Psalms 119, verse 10 through 11 tells us, with my whole heart I have sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart. I like how the NLT translate that there. Verse 10. I have tried hard to find you. I just love the words there. Thy word have I hid in my heart. The word is hidden in your heart and mind prepares you for the day when the Bible may be taken from your hands. Preacher, are you serious? You think that could happen? Yeah. Yeah, I do. Will it happen in my lifetime? That's a long time. Will it happen? I don't know. It could happen tomorrow. Who knows what can happen? Nobody knows. But I can promise you, and I'm not, I'm going to turn this way because I'm talking to myself as well. If our Bibles got taken away from us, I promise you there's not many of us that can. Talking to myself, not to show. I'll look down and preach to myself. And those who want to listen, have an ear, let them hear. If your word got taken away from you, would you live off the crumbs that you have? The bare little that you read. I've read the Bible all the way through, 100 of times. That's wonderful. How about 200 times? How many have actually read it through, cover to cover? Get off that time. Get on your knees. Fast some meals. We live as pampered. As full rotten Christians. The last time, first time I preached here, I said it back then. I'm not trying to be gross, believe me. But in the underground churches in China, they literally only have a couple pages. And they can't walk around with them on the street, so there's only one place they can keep where the government won't find them. That's as far as I'm going to go. We have the book from beginning to end. Multiple different copies. I pray you have multiple different copies at home. And we barely pick it up in the evenings. While people in China are putting it places, because if they get caught with it, they're not going to get a slap on the wrist jail time. They will be killed. And my Lord, the church services they have over there is powerful. Knowing that if someone catches them or someone racks them out, they will be killed. But my Lord, we can't raise our hands because the thermostat 2 degrees below than what it should be. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry, I'll be honest with you. We can't worship God. We can't praise Him at home because we're so busy. As my father-in-law says, he tells me all the time, he says, I don't say I don't have time, I just say I took the time. We have time. We are pampered Christians. Be armed with the armor. Ephesians 6:10. Finally, my brethren,
Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Put on the armor now, church. Put on the armor now before the arrows fly in, before the world gets worse. Man, can the world get worse? I promise you it's going to, and it has to. There is no political party that is going to solve the world's problems. I'm just going to go ahead and let you know. On both sides of the aisle and in the middle. They ain't going to do it. I'd already been with my coworker about something. About Trump bringing peace to the Middle East. I told him, I said, I don't care what president you put in there. Trump, Biden, come on. I don't care who, Reagan, what, George Washington, I don't care who you put in there. There will never be peace in the Middle East until God allows it in the end times with the Antichrist. It's just not going to happen. We have Christians that are so focused on political problems. That my co-worker's like that. Me and him got into it the other day talking about it. And I told him, I said, the problem you have is you come in here so weary and worried because all you can think about is the world outside the door. I can promise you one thing. If you're depressed, you feel sad, you're upset because of what's going on, delete Facebook. Delete Instagram. Delete social media. Not because there's anything wrong with it, but when you fill your mind with depressing things, you're going to be depressed. You want to be happy? Put the phone down. Put Facebook down. Pick up the Word of God. Go through the Book of Psalms. Read the things. Go. Put on the whole armor of God. Be happy and joyful with the Lord. For be committed to Christ's cause. Philippians 1:29. For unto you is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also suffer for His sake. Oh, I gotta suffer for God? Yeah. I'm not gonna ask you to raise your hand. That comes. But I gotta question. So raise your hand in your hearts. How many people here tonight are ready to die for God? I'm going to ask them every day, unless you're that ready, go ahead. But how many Christians tonight in this church are ready to die for God? Preacher, why are you asking? What? Are you ready to be killed for the gospel? Preacher, why are you asking that? Why are you saying that? Because if you go to that extreme, already willing in your heart to be killed for God, there's nothing that you will say no to when God asks you. If you are ready to be killed for God, and you are ready to die and suffer for His gospel and for the truth, can I tell you something? There is nothing that you will not do for God. There's not a place you won't go. There's not a person you won't talk to. There's not an opportunity you will miss because you are ready to die for Him, so you are ready to spread the truth. Problem we have, you'll be surprised how many long-time saints that you fellowship with. When it comes to that point, deny your faith or die. You'll be surprised how many Christians have. You'll be surprised how many friends and family that you know personally who deny their faith. Why? Because we have not gone to that point of saying, Lord, I am ready to suffer. I am ready to die. I am ready to lay down my life for the truth and to preach your gospel. Oh, hallelujah. Why should I? He didn't have to. He didn't have to come down from heaven. He didn't have to put himself in my shoes and walk the dusty trail and suffer to be hungry and thirsty. He didn't have to do that. He didn't have to let himself be tempted by the devil. He didn't have to do any of that. But he did. Yes. There's nothing that you can go through that God hasn't already gone through. So obviously, if He's willing to die for me, I should be willing to
until you are beaten, until you have a crown of thorns pierced in your head, until you have a spear pierced in your side, until you've been flogged, beaten, whipped to the point of almost all your bones are broken in your body, to the point where you've bled all your blood and you're bleeding water. There's nothing you can do to compare to it. Are you willing to suffer for Christ like he did for you? I'm hurrying, I promise I'm hurrying. Be looking for the Lord. Is your eyes on the eastern skies tonight? Are you looking for Christ to come back? There in Titus chapter 2, when I read this, I'm telling you, about ran through Brother Shane's house and I read the scripture here. But for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Church, can I tell you something? God is coming back. God is coming back for his church. There will be a day when the trumpet shall stand with sound and the eastern skies will be split and we will go up after the dead in Christ rise first. There will be a day. Preacher, why are you saying that? Because that is some hope that you can have. When Bob down the road is beating on you and just laughing at you and saying, why do you live like that? Why do you act like that? It's hope saying, I know I have a Savior that is coming back for me. I have a Savior that did not leave me. I know there's a time and place that God's going to come back for me. Are you looking for him? Better yet, ready for him. You got every little corner in your heart. All the cobwebs, all the hidden things that your spouse don't see, your friends can't see, your loved ones, your parents. Is every little thing gone? It's like a thief in the night, in a twinkling of an eye. Woo, hallelujah. My God's coming back. My God's coming. Hallelujah. Being prepared is not fearing the rapture. But being prepared is just living faithfully. I don't fear the rapture. Believe me, trust me, I don't want to go to hell. Nobody should. I'm not scared of the rapture. I'm just scared how long it's going to take me to get here. What am I going to have to go through before he finally comes back? How bad is it going to get? How hard is it going to be? I'm not scared. I'm happy. Church, I'm happy tonight. Church, why are you not listening? The same spirit that raged against Stephen rages still. The world that crucified Christ and stoned Stephen will oppose his church until Christ returns. Yet the same spirit that filled Stephen will fill us when persecution comes. And it will, believe me, when persecution comes, and it will, hallelujah, we must stand like Stephen, full of spirit, focused on Christ, forgiving our enemies, faithful until death. Oh, life comes to the end. I'll get ready. Revelation 2 and 10. I don't know what it's talking about, but this just popped out to me. I love it. Be thou faithful unto death. Ooh, I was cut out of my mind. And I will give thee a crown of life. Guess you didn't like that, did you? I will give thee the crown of life. Beloved, listen, persecution is indeed coming to a city near you. Matter of fact, I might as well just change the headline to it's here. Persecution is happening around us. Let's just change the news feed if we will. Persecution is here. Are you ready? Oh, way off base. My time and my preaching to dive into history just for a minute. 1938, 39, 40 was the rise. Well, the 30s was the rise of Hitler, but this moment, this time,
Poland has already been conquered by a surprise attack. Poland wasn't surprised, but apparently everybody else was surprised at the attack. But now we're sitting in what was called the phony war period, meaning nothing was going on. France wouldn't shell the borders of Germany. Nobody would do anything. And all they were doing is giving time for the enemy, getting time for Hitler to build his forces. Not an expected movement or an unexpected move at all. He moves his troops quickly through the Netherlands and through Belgium to get past a very fortified place called the line of a very fortified line there on the French and German border. And then it hits a part that they thought that France thought was naturally impenetrable. Well, Hitler sent his loads of divisions of tanks through it. Out of nowhere, within a couple of months, France has fallen. Does anybody have an idea why France fell? Well, for one, the fortifications that scared the Germans enough not to attack them head on. They didn't build it to the English channel. That's one thing that stopped them. They didn't upgrade military. They were still sending letters on horseback. You have cars, and you're sending orders and letters on horseback. Are you kidding me? France was totally unprepared. And guess what? It showed. Because when the time came for them to fight Hitler and fight the Germans, they were annihilated within a year. They didn't even conquer the whole country before France surrendered. French, why are you telling me this? Those of you obviously can tell what I'm saying. If you ain't prepared, if you ain't ready, because I'm just going to go ahead and let you know, and a figure of speech, Hitler's here. The enemy's here. Persecution's here. The devil and his demons are here. Spiritual wickedness in high places is here. It's all here. The question is, are you ready for it? Have you been preparing for it? Have you been preparing for what's coming? This is nothing. This is absolutely nothing. We get enraged because gas goes above $3 and milk, and listen, it's not right, but milk gets to $4 and $5. We get all upset. We're mad because the government shut down. And neither one of them knows what they're doing, so the whole time they're arguing. And we're so mad. This is nothing. Has this got you on your knees? Oh, God, touch me. Has this whole situation with the lock and the government shut down got you on your knees? Got you in your prayer closet? Got you seeking God more? No? Well, because it hasn't touched you at your heart. It hasn't touched you directly. Because if it was, and for some it has been, you'd be on your knees praying. Oh, God. I pray as Christians tonight, as a church body, that we would unite ourselves together and say, I'm done living in a state of idleness. I'm done coasting to the rapture. I'm done just being carnal. When the Spirit moves, I'm going to push in. I'm going to try to receive. I'm going to receive a new level and get closer to God. I'm going to try to do my best to be prepared. Hallelujah. No stone, no sword, no snow, no storm can silence the gospel. The world can kill us. But it's never going to stop the gospel. The workmen may get killed. But guess what? The work's going to go on. There'll be another one that rises to the challenge. For it. I promise you I'm done after the powerful. The reward of the faithful. Victory and suffering. They are in verse 59 and 60. And they stone Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Oh God, touch me. Lord, lay not his sin on the charge. Oh God. He committed his spirit to Jesus, like his Savior in Luke chapter 23. He surrendered his life in faith. Death was not defeat. It was the
the entrance into glory. 2 Timothy 4, 6-8 says, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all unto them that also love him."
Oh God, He forgave His enemies. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. True Christ-likeness right here is revealed through Stephen. Not in how we live, but in how we forgive those who persecute us. If someone is actively killing you, and I don't mean someone breaks in your home, and, you know, I'm not saying that. I'm talking about you're preaching the gospel. Someone starts hitting on you and beating on you. Many of them, are you going to lay there? Listen, we don't know what's going to happen to them in that situation, I understand. But with God, hallelujah. I'm almost done. But I heard a preacher tell a story about this man. He got delivered of crack cocaine. And he, you know, for years he was clean. The Lord called him to preach, and he was street preaching. So while he was preaching in the crowd, he said he saw a tall man with a coat. And he said, for some reason, that night he had sunglasses on him. So right away, he said, the discernment of my spirit just saw him, and my mind stuck to him. He said, well, when he got done preaching, he went to his car, and when he turned around to go, because he was on the pastor's side, he turned around to go to the driver's side. When he did, that man was standing right in front of him and took a handful of cocaine and right in his face. And as soon as that happened, that man got his ear and started talking. And he said, I felt my veins begin to crave. The taste became coming back to me. My mind just wondered about the taste of that drug. And I began to wonder how good it tasted. The high, I could feel the high coming like I've never felt it before. He said, but right then, I felt the Spirit of God come upon me, because the only words I could scream out was, Jesus, help me! And when he got done, he started speaking in heavenly tongues, and he felt the Holy Ghost come upon him, and he was anointed, and the drugs left his body, and the man that blew it in his face ran from him because he was scared. One more story right here. Long story, I'm going to cut it real short right here. Long story short, this man who got to church, he got out of church, he ended up saying, before I leave town, I'm going to do two things. I'm going to kill two people. And one of the people was the pastor that he helped, or that helped him. Lady called him in his church, called him speaking in tongues. He said he felt the anointing coming down upon her, or coming through the phone to him. Said she was just talking, speaking in tongues. Finally, 10 minutes goes by, and then she announced the news that the man is gone. He's got a shotgun. He's done shot the body shop up, and he's done killed people. And now he's coming his direction and coming to his house. And she began to pray for him, and he prayed with her. And then eventually, about 20 minutes later, he looked out his windows, and he said, there he is, standing in my driveway with a shotgun in his hand, walking my way. He slowly walked his direction. He said, and I don't know why I did it. He said, but I opened the door and I walked out to meet him. And he said, I've come to get shells from you. He said, I'm not giving you no more shells. I've heard what you've done. He said, about that time he said that, that man shot that gun at his feet. He said, I jumped up and all I could say was, Lord, help me. He said, you could see the blood clots forming on his face. The demons that were inside of him that possessed him. He said, you could literally see it. And when he shot, he jumped up and said, Lord, Jesus, help me. And he said, about that time, that devil that was inside of him dropped the gun and got on his knees and began to say, stop, stop, I can't handle it. Stop, stop, I can't handle it. He said, and before I knew it, I laid my hands upon him, speaking in other tongues. And at the end of it, he told her brother, he said, listen, he said, I could not have done that on my own, but the demons inside of him couldn't handle the Spirit of God that was inside of me. Listen, we may go through persecution and hardship. Can excited. Death is not the end for us. Persecution may destroy the body, but it cannot touch the soul that rests in the hands of Christ. There's a heaven that soon pearly gates will open. When God comes back and receives my spirit, receives my soul, I will go up with Him and be with Him forever. Hallelujah. We read hymns and we sing the songs of heaven, but we haven't actually thought about them. Everyone can begin to stand now. I promise after this I'm done. Have we actually thought about the words that we sing? I've got two, I promise. Listen, sing the wondrous love of Jesus. Sing His mercy and His grace. In the mansions, bright and blessed, He'll prepare us a place. While we walk the pilgrim pathway, clouds will overspread the sky. But when traveling days are over, not a shadow, not a sigh. Onward, hallelujah, onward to the prize before us. Soon His beauty we'll behold. Soon the pearly gates will open, and we shall tread on streets of gold. Listen, church, we may be persecuted, but there is a heavenly reward waiting for us in glory. One more. Some glad morning, when this life is over, I'll fly away into a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away when I die. Hallelujah. By and by, I'll fly away. Just a few more. Oh, God, touch me. Just a few more weary days, and then I will fly away to a land where joy shall never end. I will fly away. Listen, church, you may have troubles that come. You may have depression and things that oppress us. You may have demonic spirits attacking you and the devil up on your heels and things that are going on. And just, I don't know what's going on. I'm out here in the darkness. I'm spinning round and round. I'm so confused. I don't know what's happening. But when we survive the persecution and we go until the rapture comes, oh, there's glory waiting on the other side. There's an eternal reward. There's a prize like no other prize. Hallelujah. Oh, God, touch us. There's nothing I can't wait for than to walk in the streets of gold. I have one disagreement with that song, though. I'm not going to walk. I'm gonna run. I'm not gonna take my time. I'm gonna run around heaven, crying out, saying, Lord, thank you for your grace that was sufficient. Thank you for the strength that you've given me. Thank you for the comfort that you gave to me. Thank you for dying on the cross that I may live free. Thank you for delivering me and touching me and giving me strength through every situation. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's pray this evening. Hallelujah.